It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are now going to get some reaction and perspective on what's been happening in Chicago this week. With us for that, as always, is Linda Kenyon, who covers Washington politics for our home station, Illinois Public Media. Linda, good to talk to you again. Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday, and blissfully Friday. It's finally come after a very exciting but very long week.
Yes, I can imagine it's been a long week. Well, they say that what's the cliche? Journalism is the first draft of history. So let's talk about our outline. What are your big picture takeaways from what we saw in Chicago this week?
Well, this was historic for so many reasons, not the least of which was that this is the first time a woman of color has been nominated to be president of the United States of America. It's a milestone. And the historic nature of this was not lost on the crowd for even one moment. This was an unfolding of more than what conventions tend to be, which are pep rallies for the respective parties. This was kind of like a pep rally on steroids. The enthusiasm in the room every single night, the lineup of high-profile speakers was such an energetic moment for the delegates and for the millions of people watching at home. And I have covered many of these political conventions, Republican and Democratic conventions, over several administrations. And I would say that the energy that was exuded from this convention eclipsed those of other conventions. And normally, the energy is off the charts anyway. But this one somehow went out of the ballpark and into the next universe.
And I remember just a month ago, we were talking about how confident the Republicans seemed after their convention. I guess this is why you need an amplifier that goes to 11, maybe, to capture that little bit of extra juice that was in the air.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of extra juice in the air. And, you know, the Republicans did enjoy a bit of a bump after their convention. This is normally the case where the party that is holding its convention does enjoy a certain degree of added support right after its convention. But I imagine that the bump that is going to come from the Democratic convention is going to be much more salient and much more enduring. But then again, a lot of the speakers at this Democratic National Convention did caution. They said, you know, when we fight, we win, but we need to go out and continue to fight. In fact, it was the vice presidential nominee for the Democrats, Tim Walz, who said, our job now is to do the blocking and tackling. In other words, don't give up. Don't rest on your laurels or ride the wave of enthusiasm following this convention. Take it to the ground and take it to the voters to go to the polls and carry this through all the way to November.
One of the things that struck me, and I want to come back to Walz, but I want to talk about the Obamas. I think that this, you know, Barack Obama made his name on a convention speech in 2004. It's what put him from an Illinois state senator running for Senate here to a national figure. And he really rode that wave into the presidency just 4 years later. And I think that, I don't know, I have a feeling after watching those speeches and I rewatched them again this week, that this is one of those convention moments that people will talk about for decades to come. Both Michelle Obama's speech, which electrified the crowd, and I have seen reporting out of focus groups that she has this pull even beyond Democrats, right? There are people who say, why won't Michelle Obama run for president? Reportedly, she hates politics. But I want to focus on Barack Obama's speech because it struck me that in a way he was sort of passing the torch to Kamala Harris in a way that, you know, it wasn't necessarily the case with Hillary Clinton. It wasn't necessarily the case with Joe Biden. He's saying, you know, we can go from where we were in 2016 and try and get back to that again in 2024. Sort of, let's just put the last 8 years of division behind us. I wonder what you make of that.
Yes, both of the Obamas are powerful speakers. It is no accident that they were asked to speak at this convention. And it was a funny little moment when Barack Obama quipped after speaking, after Michelle Obama spoke, where he said, I'm the only one stupid enough to speak after Michelle. So it was quite a moment. Yes, Michelle has said many times she hates politics, but she is one of the most gifted speakers aside from Barack Obama. And the two of them are such a power couple. There was one line in particular that she said that caused, I would imagine, a bit of a national gasp. She was somebody, the Obamas were always very careful not to bring race into the mix, not to accuse people of racism against them in particular. They were above that. And she said something that really surprised people when she said that Donald Trump could not handle two hardworking, successful, educated people who also happened to be Black. And that was a salient moment in this campaign. And, you know, that was important to say because the nominee is Black and of South Asian descent. She is a woman of color. She is a woman, first of all. We've never had a woman president. And she is a woman of color. So that's something that is unusual in its own right. And Michelle Obama was able to sort of crystallize that moment. But yes, the Obamas were powerful speakers. They always have been. They always will be. And they really were a major part of this convention.
One of the things that really jumped out to me is this moment in Barack Obama's speech. We actually have some tape of it. Let's listen to this.
Democracy isn't just a bunch of abstract principles and dusty laws in some book somewhere. It's the values we live by. It's the way we treat each other, including those who don't look like us, or pray like us, or see the world exactly like we do.
See the world exactly like we do. That struck me as a brushback against the sort of online discourse that's so hypercritical of everything everyone says all the time, right and left. How do you see that?
Yeah, because social media is both a blessing and a curse in these days, right? The social media gives people a certain degree of cover so they can say anything they want without actually having to say something to somebody's face directly. And people have used that freedom of expression sometimes to go off the rails and be downright insulting or threatening or critical to the point where it could launch into the universe sometimes of the ridiculous. And so, yes, people have been very critical. People have been very outspoken, and it just fuels the flame, the fire of what we see now in America, which is a sharply divided country. The purpose of these conventions is to try and get people who are not decided to decide who to vote for. And with the vitriol on social media and in media in general, it just really crystallizes these differences, this sharp divide among the country, and the efforts in both parties, actually, to try and say, hey, come back and vote for us instead. Or at least the message I've got more from the Democratic Party convention than the Republican Party convention was independents, come to us. Republicans, come to us. One of the speakers said, if you vote Republican, and this was Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger, and he said, if you vote for the Democrats and you're not, basically you're a Republican, you're not voting for a party, you're voting for a country. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but the direct quote is along those lines. And so that was an outreach that we had not seen so much of in the Republican convention as we did in the Democratic convention.
You know, and that's such an interesting point, and only about a minute and a half left. But one thing I was struck by is we're used to the sort of USA chants and the overt muscular patriotism displays being something we see in the Republican convention, because Democrats have been more ambivalent about some of the darker aspects of American history, and some of them have not wanted to sort of embrace that patriotic message. But we saw USA placards and USA chants and American flags, full size, not tiny American flags, full size American flags on the convention floor. I wonder if that struck you as well.
Yeah, I know that the swag was constantly changing. They were handing out flags. They were handing out big, giant faces of Tim Walz, you know, the banners, Coach Walz, and the banners for you know, the main nominee, Kamala Harris, and the nominee, really. But nonetheless, yeah, there was so much outpouring, so much enthusiasm. And yes, I rarely did see full-size American flags on convention floors. Usually you just see those, you know, tiny little American flags, paper flags that are tapped to a stick, you know, taped to a stick. So it was, this was a little bit different. And yeah, I think it reflected a lot of the enthusiasm.
Yeah, Democrats definitely trying to take back that, or at least claim that mantle this year. Linda Kenyon, thank you for your time as always.
Thank you.